John chapter 9, and this is sort of part 2 of the message this morning. Let's review some things quickly that we said this morning. When we came into chapter 9, we see an incident that takes place between Jesus and a man that had been born blind. And this chapter continues to teach the truth that Jesus is the light of the world. We said it's only through Jesus that those walking in darkness or those who are spiritually blind can be made to see the light. The enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ could not really see because they were spiritually blind. The physically blind man that we read about in this chapter also could not see. Even when the light of the world, when Jesus was standing right in front of him. But in the story we looked at today, Jesus revealed himself to the blind man. Before the blind man could see, his eyes had to be restored. Light must be received. Must be received. The lack of sight, we said, does not mean that light is not there. You know, it's possible that light can exist, but people can fail to see the light because their eyes are blinded to it. Just as light reveals the condition of the eye, it's the light of the world, it's Jesus, that reveals the condition of the soul. The Pharisees thought that they could see, but in reality, they were spiritually blind. It's going to be light that reveals the true condition. Light that reveals the true condition. Those who see and who recognize their own blindness, those who recognize their own lost and sinful condition, who see the need for the Savior, are the ones who come to the light of Christ and are made whole, are made to see. But those who are blinded by their own self-righteousness, those who just trust in their own religion or trust in their own good works to please God and take them to heaven, those are the ones that are spiritually blind. There may be some that are full of religion and full of good works, but they're blind to Christ and they just think I'm okay because they do not see their need for Christ. They just see their own righteousness. You know, some have minds that have been blinded by Satan because of their unbelief. And it's only going to be the power of God's Holy Spirit convicting them that will help them to have their blinded eyes to be opened. What's our responsibility? Our responsibility is to preach the Word of God. Our responsibility is to share the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's His job to open the hearts of people. It's His job to open the minds of people. It's His job to take those that are spiritually blind and open their eyes that they can see. He's the only one that can provoke that listener to truly believe and receive and obey God's word. Look back quickly in our story in John chapter 9, and we're not going to take a long time necessarily, but I want to review some things. I think it's important to do that to help us with the rest of the message. John chapter 9. And here we read about a man that was blind from his birth and could not see. Look at it with me. Everybody read this together. John chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. Okay, let's read it together. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? The disciples wanted to find a reason for the blindness. They wanted to discuss who was at fault. They wanted to find someone to blame. Who sinned? Who did wrong? Why is it that this man is blind? Notice verses 3 to 5. Let's read it together out loud, okay? Verse 3. Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Verse 4 together. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Together, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus does not give the answer that they wanted. Jesus says the important thing is not to try to search the past and find out who's at fault and find out who's guilty of sin and who to blame. The disciples were worried about who sinned, and Jesus was worried about saving the sinners. He wanted to change them. They wanted to just find out who is the guilty one. Jesus reminds them again, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. In that day and still today, Jesus Christ is light. He is the light of the world. Through Christ, people can come out of spiritual darkness and blindness, and they can come into the light. Look again, verses 5 to 7, and let's read it together, okay? John 9, verses 5 to 7, together. As long as I am in the world, I am. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the... Okay, keep reading. Very good. Verse 7. And said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore. Thank you. Christ had to touch the blind man, and the blind man had to obey Christ. If Christ had not touched your eyes, then you could not be seen. There are so many people today who are blind and don't even know it. So many people who sit there blind and don't even know it. So many people who are living life blind and don't even know it. We need to let Christ touch our eyes so we can see. We discussed this morning how similar the blind man's condition was to those who are lost and unsaved. There are just so many things about that blind man. Remember, he was outside the temple. He was out where he was without, and nobody to help him. No man could do anything for him. He had been blind from his birth, his whole life long. There's just so many things about his condition physically that are so similar to a man's spiritual condition when they're lost. Jesus touched the blind man. He made the mud pies and put those on his eyes. And then he sent him and said, I want you to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And he did what Jesus told him to do. And he was a changed man. I want us just to take a few moments, and I want us to focus this afternoon on people's reaction to the miracle. People's reaction to the miracle, okay? Notice a few things. Number one, the reaction of the neighbors. The reaction of the neighbors. Look at John chapter 9, and you're going to read it with me. John chapter 9, verses 8 and 9 together, okay? The neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. Can you imagine what it was like in the neighborhood? There's a man that looks down the street and he says to his wife, hey, here comes the blind man. His wife turns to look and says, no, that's not the blind man. He looks like the blind man, but that man's not blind. That can't be the blind man. You know, the blind man actually in the story had to identify himself to his neighbors. No, I am he. I really am the blind man, but I'm not blind anymore. You see, people knew him, but now something was different about him. They weren't quite sure. Some didn't even recognize him. Why? Because he was so much a changed man. He was different. The neighbors knew something had happened to him. Listen, it ought to be the same way in our lives spiritually. When we get saved, when we're born again, people ought to notice that we've been changed. If there is never any evidence of a change, then something is wrong. Something is wrong in a person's life. Something is wrong in a person's heart. Something is missing if there's never any evidence of change. Notice the reaction of the neighbors. Go on, look at verses 10, 11, and 12. 10, 11, and 12, and let's read it together. Therefore said they unto him, he answered and said, then said they unto him, where is he? He said, I know not. This man just shares his testimony. That's all he does. He just shares what he knows. He just shares what Jesus did for him. Probably every time he shared his testimony, his heart was overwhelmed more and more with just how good Jesus had been to him. You know what? It'll do us good to share our testimony. It'll do us good to share with others, to tell somebody else, hey, this is what Jesus did for me. Sit up. This is how Jesus saved my life. This is how Jesus changed me. This is what he did. I was a sinner. I was in trouble. But Jesus saved my soul and changed my life. It'll do us good to share our testimony. Do you ever share your testimony with anybody? Do you ever share it with Christians? Do you ever share it with non-Christians? This man gave a simple, honest testimony of the best he could understand of what happened to him. He just knew that his life had been changed by Jesus. You know what? The world around us needs to hear us share our testimony. One of the most powerful things that we can do to help bring some oomph to our gospel witness can be to share our testimony. Of course, the power is in the gospel and the power is in the scriptures, and it's the power of the Holy Spirit of God that convicts people. But our testimony is a wonderful help to people to understand the gospel, to know what happened in your life, what took place in your life, how Jesus Christ changed your life. Oh, how we need to share our testimony. Listen, John Newton was a slave trader. By all accounts and stories about John Newton, he was a wicked, ungodly man. But one day God got a hold of John Newton's heart, and he saved his soul, and he changed his life. And John Newton ended up writing these words on a ship: "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. I was blind, but now I see." Salvation is really a simple thing. God did not make it complicated. It is a simple matter of coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. We come in our sinful, lost condition, and we can experience His soul-saving, life-changing power. We see the reaction of the neighbors. They knew something was different. They saw that here was a changed man. He was changed, of course. Now he could see. But listen, when it's true in our lives that we've been made to see by Christ, spiritually we've been changed, people ought to see a difference. Number two, notice the reaction of the Pharisees. The reaction of the Pharisees. Let's read verses 13 to 15 together. Let's read it out loud, all the words together. John chapter 9, verses 13 to 15. Okay? "They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, He put clay upon my eyes, and I washed, and do see." Again, the man's testimony is very simple. You would think that these Pharisees would have rejoiced with him, right? Wouldn't you think that the Pharisees would be excited? Wow, here was a blind man, and now he's able to see. But instead, they got hostile, they got angry, they got upset, they were confused, and they tried to find reasons to just explain it away. They tried to just explain it. They tried to maybe find some fault with Jesus because of their hatred for Jesus. They weren't excited for the man. They were upset because they did not like Jesus. Notice verse number 16. John 9 and verse 16. "Therefore said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division amongst them." These men were experts at arguing. They were experts at arguing. One person stuck his nose in the air and said, "This man must be a sinner. He's trying to heal people on the Sabbath day. Sinner, 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 sinner." And another man, he sticks his nose up in the air. And he said, But how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles?" And they begin to have, there begins to be division. And they're arguing. And they're divided over it. Unfortunately, they lacked understanding. They were spiritually blind to the truth because of their focus on traditions and rules. Jesus had come to fulfill the Sabbath. You know, the Jews made a bigger deal out of just keeping the Sabbath day than they did about Jesus changing somebody's life. Jesus helping somebody's life. They were upset about that. They were angry about that. The Sabbath was more important to them. But Jesus had come to fulfill the Sabbath. He had actually come to bring rest to the people of God. Jesus wanted people to no longer have to offer sacrifices for sin. He came to be our sacrifice. These Pharisees thought that all people from God must keep the Sabbath. That was their premise. That was their rule. And because Jesus did not keep the Sabbath, because he healed someone on the Sabbath day, then Jesus must not be from God, they surmised. Well, he can't be from God. Anybody that's from God would keep the Sabbath. Look what he did on the Sabbath day. They came to the wrong conclusion because their eyes were so blinded by their own traditions and religion. Isn't it sad that we see people so many times around us that they're just blinded by the traditions? They're blinded by the religion. They may do this, they may do these sacraments, or they may do these things, they may keep certain religious rituals and so on, but they're totally blind to Christ. They totally do not understand Him at all. And they may even talk about Him and think that He died on the cross and so on, but they're still blind to the truth of the gospel and the simplicity of the gospel. If the Pharisees would have just believed that only someone sent from God could open the eyes of a man born blind, and if they would have recognized the change that took place in the life of this blind man and been willing to hear his testimony and believe his testimony, they could have been saved. They would have understood. They would have understood for themselves that Jesus truly was sent down from God to be their Messiah and to be their Savior. But because Jesus did not keep the Sabbath, Eric, listen. Because Jesus didn't keep the Sabbath, because He did a good work on the Sabbath by healing the blind man, they essentially rejected Jesus Christ because He did not do it their way. Because He didn't do it their way. You know, how sad it would be that somebody would maybe come into a church and visit a church and maybe hear the gospel preached. But because they don't see any statues of Mary, because they don't see any paintings of Mary on the wall, because they don't see this, because they didn't hear the same prayers, because they didn't do certain things of up and down, up and down, up and down, because something was different, they just think, now this can't be right. How sad it is. I was talking to a person the other day who talked about, you know, generation after generation of religion in their family, but yet they have nothing. They're blind. They're blind. Sadly today, many people are still spiritually blind because they're holding on to some man-made religion or traditions. And they're not believing and trusting in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. You know, the blind had to go wash in the pool of Siloam in order to gain his sight. The blind man was sent, the Bible says. If a person is going to have their eyes opened, they're going to have to do it God's way. Just like Jesus told that blind man, you're going to go to the pool of Siloam. You're going to wash that mud off your eyes that I put there. And that's how you're going to be healed. Listen, people have to do things God's way. If Jesus says that He's the only way, then He's the only way. People have to come His way. It's those who will hold on to religion that will be blind and walk in darkness. Do you remember the story in the Old Testament? Who knows the story of Naaman? Who knows the story of Naaman? Anybody heard of Naaman before in the Old Testament? Have you heard of him? Have you heard of him, Eric? You've heard of Naaman. All right. Can you help me act out the story of Naaman? You want to help me act out the story of Naaman? Okay, can you come and do this? Remember the story in the Old Testament of Naaman, who had to go wash in the Jordan River if he was going to be healed of his leprosy? Now, the Jordan River, it wasn't a nice river at all. It was a dirty river. It was an unclean river. But the prophet had told Naaman, Naaman, you need to go wash. You need to go in the Jordan River. You need to go dip yourself. I think it was 7 times, right? Go dip yourself 7 times in the Jordan River. But here's Naaman. Ooh, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going getting into that dirty river. I'm above that. I'm not going there. Naaman, what'd I say? So yeah, germophobia. He didn't like it so much. But that was the only way that he was going to be healed. If he was going to be healed, he had to trust and obey. He had to do it God's way. He couldn't just sit there stubbornly, well, sorry, I'm not going, I'm not doing that. He had to get himself over to that Jordan River and humble himself to dip himself in that Jordan River. You going to do it? Started dipping himself. And he's, no, get down. You got to sink right down into the water. And he had to get up and down, out of that water. Up and down. No, up, keep going. I imagine standing up and getting down. 7 times had to do that. And what did God do? God healed him of his leprosy. But what had to happen? It had to be done God's way, right? If he would have just stayed over here and resisted and said, ugh, I'm not doing that. I don't like that way. I didn't grow up with that way. See, done it enough times? Then it won't work. Right? It has to always be God's way. Thank you, BJ. You can be seated. We're going to have to come God's way. We're going to have to be saved God's way. We have to be cleansed God's way. There's no other way. Notice a third thought here, the reaction of the parents. Notice the reaction of the parents. Go back to John chapter 9. John chapter 9. We saw the reaction of the neighbors. They looked and said, something's been changed. That guy's changed. That guy's different. There was the reaction of the Pharisees. Oh, they didn't want to believe it. They tried to reason it away. They tried to explain it away. They didn't like it. We see the reaction of the parents. The reaction of the parents, John chapter 9 and verse 18 to 23, it says, "But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, Mommy, Daddy, Father, Mother, listen, is this your son who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age. Ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, He is of age, ask him. The parents knew that a miracle had been done, but they did not want to explain how it had been done. And the Pharisees continued to do all that they could to try to discredit Jesus. You know, it's funny how the Pharisees did not mind if the blind man would give glory to God for the miracle that took place. But just don't give any glory or praise or credit to Jesus for what happened. They would not have minded if the family or if the man would have said it was God. You know, because they believed in God and they supposedly loved God. They would have not have minded if glory was given me in God. But don't mention the name of Jesus. Don't try to give any credit to Jesus for this miracle. Oh no. They didn't like Jesus. Notice verse 24. John 9:24. Read it with me. Then again called they the man that was blind. You're not reading it with me. And said unto him, Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. You know what? Still today, the name of Jesus is one of the most controversial names on the planet. There are some people that love the name of Jesus and some people that hate the name of Jesus. There are some people that believe in Jesus as the Son of God, while some just want to call him a prophet, or some just want to call him a good man, or some just want to think of him as a wise man, or some who want to deny him altogether. Some have had their eyes opened and they're trusting in Jesus Christ alone as their Savior, while others are boggled by false religion, or they're blinded by religion, or they're blinded by their family traditions, and they don't truly know Jesus Christ as their Savior. You know what? There's some people that know about Jesus, but yet they pray to Mary or the saints instead. There's some that say they believe that Jesus existed as a man, yet they're trusting still in some other God instead. There's some that even believe that Jesus died on the cross, but yet they're trusting in their good works, or they're trusting in the sacraments to get them to heaven. Listen, there's no other name that can save but the name of Jesus. Mary cannot save me from my sins. The Pope cannot save me from my sins. Allah cannot save me. No other God can save me. The only name that can save me is Jesus. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is the only name that can save. I want you to notice again John chapter 9, and let's look at verses 24 and 25. John chapter 9 and verse 24 and 25. Let's try this thing again. Let's try to read it together out loud. John 9, 24 and 25. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, Give God the praise. He answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. One thing I know, whereas I was blind, but now I see. The Pharisees wanted the blind man to deny Jesus, But he just continued to testify simply and said, you know, I don't know much about him. I never knew him before. I just know one thing. I know that I was blind and now I can see. He didn't have a real fancy testimony. And he maybe didn't know how to explain it all real good, but he had a testimony. I just know that I was blind and now I can see. I know that he did something. Look at verse 26. Verse 26. Then said they to him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? The Pharisees are trying to find something wrong. They're trying to find some way to explain away the miracle. Remember now that the blind man had never actually seen Jesus yet with his own eyes. If you think about this story, if we were to read it closely and maybe read all the verses together, you'd know that even at this point, he had not actually seen Jesus because Jesus was there in front of him. He didn't see him. He made the mud pies and sent him to the Pool of Siloam. Jesus was gone. So at this point, he had not still literally physically seen Jesus yet with his own eyes. He had felt Jesus touch him when he put the clay on his eyes. The blind man had heard the voice of Jesus when he told him to go and wash in the Pool of Siloam. And the blind man was willing to obey what Jesus told him to do. And because of that, a miracle had taken place. His physical eyes had been opened. He now could see things in a way that he could never before see things. He now could understand things in a way he could never before understand things. Look at verse 27 and 28. John 9, 27 and 28. Let's read it together out loud. He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. The man who had been blind but now could see is beginning to understand what the Pharisees are doing. And maybe he gets a little sarcastic with them. Do you also want to find Jesus and follow him? You're questioning me so much. And do you want to find Jesus? Do you want to follow him too? Do you also want to be his disciples? Do you want me to tell you the story again? Do you want to hear more about Jesus? Not only were the Pharisees so spiritually blind that they could not see the light of the world, but they were also so spiritually deaf that they could not hear. They were spiritually blind that they could not see the light of the world, and they were spiritually deaf so that they could not hear. They were hard of hearing. They were deaf. Notice verses 29 to 34. John chapter 9, verse 29 to 34, and let's read it out loud together, okay? We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, why herein is a marvelous thing? Verse 31. Now we know that God heareth not sinners. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. If this man were not of God, think about that, he could do nothing. Verse 34, they answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. They cast him out. The religious rulers hated Jesus. Because they could not explain him or understand him, they just talked bad about him. It was their own hatred and their own unbelief that was actually helping the blind man to come to the point of fully understanding who Jesus really was, that he must be the Son of God. You know, sometimes people see the emptiness. Sometimes people see the shallowness. Sometimes people see the vanity. Sometimes people see the hypocrisy. Sometimes people see the void, the emptiness in the life of people who have religion but don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's actually something that helps to turn their heart towards the real Savior. Sometimes people see those that they have religion and know that really they have nothing. They're empty. It's void. It's vanity. It's shallow. It's hypocrisy. And they see what a foolishness that is and what a mockery that is. And then when somebody does present to them truth and the gospel and Jesus Christ and they hear a testimony about how he's changed our life and they see it, it helps to convince them. You know, the Pharisees, they had no argument. They had no satisfactory explanation. The facts just confounded them and contradicted their own thoughts. Now, I remember when Mike and Norma Brunetto got saved and they had started searching the scriptures. They started learning of Christ. They started reading the Bible and they realized that the Bible that they were reading taught them so many things that disagreed with what they'd grown up hearing in church and in religion. It was different than what they learned in a Catholic church. It was different than what Norma learned in an Orthodox church. And so they began to see just the contradictions of it all. And Brother Mike went to his Catholic priest many times with questions, but the priest had no answers. The priest had no satisfactory arguments or explanations. Sometimes those who've been spiritually blinded by their false religion or by false teachers, or by the traditions of men, have become nothing more than blind leaders of the blind. The Pharisees were so angry, they were so blinded, they were so foolish, that rather than accept the testimony of the blind man that now could see, they just hated it the more. They weren't willing to humble themselves and believe in Jesus, so what did they do? They just cast that man out. We want you out of here. Get out of here. We want nothing to do with you. We see the reaction, the neighbors, we see the reaction of the Pharisees, we see the reaction of the parents. I want you to notice the reaction of the blind man in verse 35 to 38. John chapter 9, verse 35 to verse 38. The Bible says there, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, isn't it a wonderful time that now, you know, all the religious crowd hates the man? But Jesus comes, finds the man that's been cast out. And said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Jesus Christ comes back into the picture. Here we have a man that had been blinded from birth. And he had received his physical sight because of the miraculous power of Jesus. But it was not just his physical sight that he received. He also began to see spiritually. He also began to gain an understanding spiritually. And before he had been in darkness and could not see, but now he was in light. The light of the world had changed his life and he could see. As this man's spiritual understanding grew and he began to understand that Jesus was truly sent from God, he was the Messiah, he now would begin to defend Jesus. He would begin to defend Jesus and he really was the winner in the argument with the religious rulers. But he was cast out of the synagogue by those who would rather remain in their own spiritually blinded condition. It's wonderful that Jesus came to find this man. And we see a clear demonstration of his faith in Jesus. Again in the story, we see a wonderful picture of Jesus looking for a man before that man was ever looking for him. Jesus was looking for that blind man long before the blind man was ever really looking for him. Jesus was seeking to save a sinner, even when that sinner was totally unaware of his own spiritual blindness and need for the Savior. You know, there's people at all different stages all around us all the time. There could be some people in your workplace or some people in your neighborhood that maybe they're in a situation where God has begun to take the blinders off. The spiritual blindness there of Satan and they're beginning to be convicted by some things and they're beginning to understand some things and they're beginning to see some things and maybe they've heard some witness and they've heard some of the gospel and God's beginning to work on them and they're beginning to understand, but they need another person maybe still to come to them and share their testimony and share the gospel once more, and it could be that at that opportunity that they'll get saved. And then those of you that have gone witnessing before, you know that there's some people will come across that, boy, you could try to do everything possible to give them the gospel, but they're so spiritually blind that there's not a thing you could say that would really seemingly make an impact. What's needed is for God to do a great work. We need to pray that God would do that work, that the Spirit of God would take the blindness away from people and help them to see. This man gained his sight physically and then began to gain an understanding about spiritual things and began to understand who Jesus was to the point where finally he believed in him. Jesus asked him an important question in verse 35. Dost thou believe on the Son of God? Now Jesus actually used the healing of this man's physical blindness as part of the process to heal this man from his spiritual blindness. The light of the world wanted to shine in this man's life. He wanted to bring him out of the darkness and into the light. He wanted to bring him from blindness into a point of seeing. The things that Jesus did in his life brought this man to the point of placing his faith and trust in Jesus Christ as the Son of God and as his personal Savior. You know what? God even used this man's blindness as a point where eventually it'd be an opportunity where he would be brought to salvation. No, it's very true with all of us that we're blind as sinners. Sinners are blind at first. We are lost sinners in darkness and we don't even see our lost condition. But then Christ comes seeking us and he begins to reveal himself to us and he helps us to see him and he helps us to understand who he is and he helps us to see the need that we have in him for our lives, because if we don't even see the need for him, then we won't trust in him. He has to help us to see our need. When our eyes are opened, we then see ourselves as sinners and we see our need for the Savior. Remember the story I told you this morning about the mining man who was blinded because of an explosion that occurred in the mine? And they were deep down under the earth, so it was absolute total darkness. And that man who was blinded because he was in utter darkness, he did not recognize that he had been blinded. Until rescue crews came and they began to dig a little hole through to let a little light in there and let a little air in there. When the other people saw the light, of course, they could see. We see the light. That other man said, "Where's the light? I don't see any light." It was only when the light shone there that he recognized his blindness. When a man is in spiritual darkness, he may not even know or understand that he cannot see. He just goes on thinking he's okay. But when we're in the presence of the light of the world, we will recognize our blindness. If we'll only believe in Jesus. Jesus asked the man, "Dost thou believe? Dost thou believe?" Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the story of this man that was blind and was made to see. First he gained his physical sight and then he gained his spiritual sight. Lord, we are thankful that you do work in hearts. And you can take the blinders off. You can take the most hardened blind sinner or blinded religious person and still they can be saved if they'll only believe. Help us to do all we can to shine the light. Put people in a place where the light is in front of them. The light is shining into their life. That God, you might use it in some way to help them to see their own need. Their own sinful condition, their lost condition, their need for the Savior. We know, God, you've got to do the convicting. You're the only one that can change a heart and change a life and save a soul, save a sinner. But God, help us to do all we can to help bring the light and introduce the light to people. Lord, give us your Spirit. Give us your power. Help us to be the witnesses for Jesus Christ that we ought to be.